Book of Revelation, chapter 19. Familiar passage to many of us, have read it over the years, pondered that great glorious day when heaven opens and Jesus Christ returns. Hallelujah. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Revelation. I was guilty back in the early days of my Christian life of calling it Revelations. And I've heard other people do it. It's okay. I was there once. It is the single revelation of Jesus Christ to John the servant. Amen. Revelation 19, after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! Then the voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thunders, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell on my feet to worship him, but he said, See thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning I'd like to focus in on verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. So this morning we're going to talk about getting ready. Amen. You know, if you ever planned a trip, you had to do certain things. You had to get ready for the trip. When Carol and I have made trips, she does the majority of the work. I don't know if that's a woman thing or not, but there's a lot to think about. And us men, we just grab an extra pair of underclothes and a shirt and get in the car and go. But there's toothbrushes and toothpaste and deodorant and hairspray or whatever you need, all of the accoutrements that you have to take from home on your trip, so that when you get there you don't say, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that. And so there is a certain preparation for a trip. And the Bible says that when Jesus is coming for his bride, that the bride or the wife has made herself ready. Amen. Now, when you talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, this is an event that from the Gospels looks forward. When they came to Jesus and asked him, why does John the Baptist's disciples fast, and your disciples they don't fast. And he said, well, he said, the friends of the bridegroom aren't sad when the bridegroom is there. They're rejoicing. But when the bridegroom leaves, there'll be plenty of time for fasting. And of course, Jesus was referring to himself as the bridegroom, and referring to that gap that we know now to be 2,000 years of time that the bridegroom has gone and the bride is waiting. So obviously this is plenty of time to fast and pray and get close to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So this period is the period of the whosoever will, right? It's the period where we tell people, you can be a part of that group. You can join. You don't have to be a Jew. You can be Hungarian, Yugoslavian, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. You can be Native American, right? That he that comes to him, he will not cast out. He won't turn away. That Jesus will open his arms to anyone. This is the espousal period where the bride is made complete. The groom's away. Now, during this period of time, like a dating period, you might say, if you were the romantic type when you were dating your wife, or if you're here married, your husband or whatever, he might have sent you letters, little love letters, little notes, little poems. Life is real, life is earnest. If you're cold, turn up the furnace. Those really romantic poems, you know. I wrote some mushy ones, more mushy than that, obviously. God has done the same thing. He's written us love letters. It's called the Bible. And as a bride of Christ, we should longingly read the love letters that God has given us. One of the indictments in the Bible is that they no longer tremble at my word. God, let us never get to the place where the Bible is ho-hum, or I don't really want to read it. I've read it before. I know what it says, you know. It's God's love letter to us during this espousal period. We should read it with love and affection and faith that God is going to send the Holy Spirit to bring the bride of Christ to that blessed meeting place in heaven called the marriage supper of the Lamb. During this espousal period, it is not uncommon for a groom or a boyfriend or a fiancé, however you want to call it, to send gifts to his bride-to-be, to his future wife. And also, God has done the same. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high. It was the gift. He said, it's expedient that I go to the Father, for if I do not go, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift. It's the down payment. It's the pre-wedding gift for the bride. And the Holy Spirit with it has other gifts, fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you're really a Christian or my disciples if you love one another. Love is the thing that shows that we are the bride. Now, out of love comes many other attributes: joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And if you lack any of those areas, then begin to get close to God. Say, send a renewing of the Holy Spirit, because we are to be the fragrance of Christ on the earth. Fruit has a fragrance. You could take a slice of banana or strawberry and blindfold someone and run it under their nose. Strawberry, banana. I don't know, grapes might be a little hard to smell unless you squish them a little bit. But the idea is that there is this fragrance of the fruit, and we are to be the fragrance of Christ. And so we should put off that aroma of Jesus Christ. When people see us, they should sense the aroma of Christ from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be like a boyfriend giving a girlfriend her favorite cologne, and she wears it, and says, yeah, it's my favorite cologne, my boyfriend gave it to me, and Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, so that that aroma would come. In the Song of Solomon, probably one of the most romantic books of the Bible, all of this, there is that phrase about how he blows on his garden, and that the aroma then of the garden, the Holy Spirit blows that aroma across us, and we should give off the fragrance of Christ. And so that should be our goal, our ambition, to look and smell like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now our text says that his wife made herself ready. This is an interesting statement, because typically we would say, well, if I'm born again, shouldn't I be ready? The answer is yes. Then what is this made herself ready? Well, we believe in what is called positional and progressive sanctification. Positionally, you are a Christian, you are a saint. But there is a second step of sanctification that is my responsibility. And it is up to me to make myself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this today. The scriptures would not have said, make yourself ready, unless there was something that I have a responsibility to do. Amen? So we're going to do a little Bible flipping back and forth here this morning. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me, we're going to go back to the book of Esther. The book of Esther is one of those books in the Old Testament that, again, has that connotation of a bride. Amen. Esther. And chapter 2. Esther chapter 2, verse 8. Remember, Esther became the bride or the wife of the king. And it was through like a beauty contest. And so it was, when the king's command and decree was heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young women pleased him, and she obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house for the women. And so notice it says that he readily gave her beauty preparations. Now again, we're talking about the Holy Spirit's responsibility to give us beauty preparations. When we say beauty, we're not talking about outward adornment, are we? We're talking about inward beauty. We're talking about patience. We're talking about love. We're talking about gentleness. We're talking about being patient and long-suffering with people. We're talking about inner beauty, right? And so this assistant, anytime you see an assistant to to the one. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. And he is giving her beauty preparations, telling her how to be prepared to meet the King. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Now, we go on down a little farther. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. Now, verse 12. Each young woman turned and came to go to King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation according to the regulations for the women, for they were the days of their preparation appointed, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and preparation for beautifying women. Now, if you're a man this morning, you're thinking, I don't want to hear all of this stuff. But again, we're not talking about outward beauty. We're talking about inward beauty. And we're talking about a whole year of preparation. Now, I don't know if we have a year. But the idea is that this is not something you get on a Sunday morning, is it? It's not something you get on a Wednesday night. It's a lifestyle that happens with days and weeks and months and a year of preparation before the time to go to meet the King. The marriage of the supper of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. And so we are now thinking, you know, sometimes I have an attitude that's really stinky, and I should change that, right? Sometimes I have negative thoughts, which is not pleasing to the Lord, and I need to change that. You know, we talk about coming to the King, but have you ever had a situation, maybe you were in the military, maybe it was a principal at a school, where you were brought before someone with high authority, maybe it was a judge in a legal situation, who had the authority to punish you at his words? We're talking about not only the espousal to someone we love, but we're talking about the judge of the whole earth being brought before him. And so there should be a holy reverence, a holy fear, and a holy preparation for that day that is coming very, very soon. Praise God. All right, so now let's go ahead and flip back to Matthew 25. Again, a familiar passage, and most of us are familiar with Matthew 25. These are Jesus' parables. These are not mine. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Jesus is telling a parable about this same event that we read in Revelation. And he says of these 10 virgins that are going out to meet the bridegroom, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, what do we know about this already, just in these first verses? We know that they are brides. They're the virgins. We know that they know that he's coming. And we know that they know they have to go out and meet him. All of these things they know. You know, sometimes we think just because we know something in the Bible, that makes us ready. Well, I know Scripture, so God must be pleased with me. Well, the devil quoted Scripture to Jesus, right? You can have head knowledge and know something. That doesn't mean you're ready. You can quote the right verses and not be ready. There are pastors probably in pulpits this morning that are quoting scriptures that may not be ready. Knowing something doesn't make you ready. Being ready makes you ready, right? And so because of this, there were 5 that were foolish and 5 that were wise. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. Now, we've said this so many different ways, I feel like I'm being redundant. But the Holy Spirit is the gift. The Holy Spirit is the fragrant. In our text here, the Holy Spirit is the oil. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit active in our lives. We need the fruit of the Spirit. And the wise, they had the oil in their lamps. They had the Holy Spirit filled in their vessel. Amen. But while the bridegroom was delayed, or King James, I think, says tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, it is not a sin to go to sleep. You can't stay awake 24 hours pacing the floor going, when is Jesus coming? When is Jesus coming? When is Jesus coming? When is Jesus coming? Is he coming yet? Is he coming now? Is he coming now? No, you can go to sleep. You can watch TV. You can go out to friends and have dinner. You can't just live on the mountaintop in a white robe. That's kind of what this means. So the wise and the foolish are both sleeping. It's not what you're doing, it's what you got. It's if you're prepared. Do you have the oil? When you're not sleeping, are you keeping your vessel full of oil? Or are you letting it run dry? Amen? And so they all slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." I had a dream about the rapture one time, and it was like nothing I see in any of these movies. I was in a what looked like a classroom in a school. It had a hallway, and I knew that somehow that there was multiple rooms, like next to each other, a long hallway. And I heard the commotion, and I knew Jesus is coming. And he was coming, kind of hovering down the hall above the ground, and people were following him. And I immediately had this kind of insecurity, like, is he going to come and get me, or is he going to leave me? And he didn't do either. He looked at me and said, well, come on. And I had a part in it. I had to go out in the hallway and join the crowd behind him. And the text says that the bride had to go out to meet him. Very scriptural dream. There is a part that is our responsibility. There is a part that we need to watch and be ready to go out to meet him. Now, in the spiritual realm, I don't know what that means, other than what I just can tell you, that we need to be ready to go out to meet him. And be actively engaged, always in the back of our mind. Whether we are watching TV, whether we are with friends at a meal somewhere, to be ready at any time to go out and meet the Lord. So the midnight cry came, the bridegroom's coming, go out to meet him. And those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us. Go rather to those that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, this is an interesting statement, because Jesus, in the letters to the seven churches, talked about a church or a group of individuals. You know, there's three interpretations and they're all the same. The letters to the seven churches were written to literally seven churches. They're also written to he that has an ear, and we all have ears. So they're written to all of us. And then, of course, the third one is that they're arranged in such a time that they prophetically describe the different ages of the church. So the middle one I mentioned, those that have ears, they're written to us personally. And he talked about people who have eyes but can't see and ears that can't hear. And he says, you say you can see, but you're blind. And he says, go and buy eye salve. Go and get this eye salve. And here in our text, it talks about going and buying oil. And I asked the Lord, what's the deal with this buying thing? And he said, spend time with me. I said, okay, Lord. So how do I buy oil? I spend time with Jesus. How do I buy eye salve so that I really see? I spend time with Jesus. You cannot, there's no shortcut to keeping the lamp full. You can't just get a full lamp by going to church on Sunday. You have to spend time with Jesus. And then you will have eyes that see and ears that hear and a lamp that's full. There's no other substitute for spending time with Jesus. You've got to do it. And so the foolish ones were told, no, you got to go buy it yourself. And of course, when they went, it's a little late to start doing a Bible study then, right? While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those that are ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And, of course, we could read on, but that's really not the point. I want us to all be the wise ones, and I want to be the wise one. And you know what? In a world where we are so busy, and I tell you, we're all busy, it's a challenge sometimes to find time to spend with the Lord. And maybe, you know, you have the time, but by the end of the day, if you haven't done it early enough, that's why I try to do it early, because, man, my clock unwinds, my energy level winds down, and I can do this remote thing pretty easy at the end of the day, but that's all I feel like doing sometimes. But you have got to find your time, whether you're a morning person or a night person, to spend time with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I tell you, if you're human, you read that list, you're going to get convicted on one of them in your life, right? I mean, I'd like to say that we all are just perfect saints and none of us have any flaws, but that's probably not really the case. If you are, I want to shake your hand. So, if you haven't arrived yet, take heart, because the Bible says all fall short of the glory of God, don't we? Now, look back at Ruth chapter 2. Again, this is another one of those Old Testament marriage, espousal type books in the Old Testament, and we can glean a little bit from this one as well. So flip back to Ruth chapter 2 as well. Ruth chapter 2. Praise the Lord. And let's just look at Ruth 2:21. Ruth the Moabitess. Most of us know the story of Ruth, you know, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, and so on. So Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, she's talking to her mother-in-law, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young men, young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. Now, let's read one more verse. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, one of the things that we can do to be ready is bride made herself ready, is to be careful who we associate with. She says, it's good that you stay with the women. You know, the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean things. And Proverbs says, evil communication corrupts good manners. And we know this, but we oftentimes are thrown into circumstances or situations with people we work with or people that we have business dealings with. And we can't not be in the world, but we can choose not to be of the world, amen, and not partake of them. So this is part of the preparation. And then look over with me in chapter 3, at beginning verse 3. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, while he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you must do. And in all of this, you might say, well, she's washing herself. That's a, you know, she's keeping sin. Yeah, that's true. And she's anointing herself. Yeah, there's the Holy Spirit. And she's at the feet of type of Jesus. Yeah, I used to sit at the feet of Jesus. But above all these things, what is she doing? She's listening to what her mother-in-law is telling her to do. And I have found probably one of the most heinous sins of the flesh because of pride is not having a teachable spirit. In fact, Paul told Timothy, his young apprentice, that a minister has to have a teachable spirit. You have to be able to receive instructions from someone that God puts in your life. And she could have said, "Eh, mother-in-law, you know what you're talking about. He's got the hots for me. I don't need to do all that." But, you know, she listened to her mother-in-law and had a teachable spirit. And then verse 11, jump on down to verse 11. "And now, my daughter," again, mother-in-law, "do not fear." Oh, no, this is Boaz, excuse me. "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he will not, if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." And so, you know, sometimes when we get excited, you know, tomorrow is the wedding day. I can't sleep. I'm so excited. I can't be still. And yet, what does the Bible say? They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And so, again, one of the things we can prepare for that wedding day, the word of Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, lie down, be still, wait until the time. And those that wait upon the Lord will be like an eagle that mounts up on those windy currents, right? They will be like those that run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. If we just learn to be still and wait on the Lord, be still and know that I am God. And so don't panic. You know, I've had people say, "I don't like prophecy because it scares me." Well, it doesn't have to scare you. Just be still and wait on God. It's going to happen when it happens. I don't know when it's going to happen. Could be tomorrow, could be next month, could be next year. But we're going to be still and wait on God. Amen. Now, a few more verses. We're doing a lot of Bible study today, a little bit more than a typical sermon. Flip back to John chapter 17. John 17. Verse 17, John 17, 17. There's some 17s for you, Eddie. John 17, 17. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Earlier in this message, I talked about, you know, the born-again aspect, positional sanctification, and progressive sanctification. The progressive sanctification is, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." One of the aspects of sanctification comes from spending time in God's word. The word is like a sickle. It cuts away at the junk. it's compared to a mirror that shows me what I really look like instead of what I think I look like. If I go by what I think I'm Joe spiritual. When I look in the mirror of God's Word, I see all kinds of stuff I need to work on, right? And so the Word sanctifies me. Now, flip back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things in the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. So, we're talking about sanctification now. The first aspect, of course, was spending time in the Word. The second one is humility. You want God to sanctify you and look like Christ, recognize that the people God uses, sounds a little like Sunday school, are the humble people, right? The humility. Okay? Now flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're talking about sanctification now. It's different aspects of living the sanctified life. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. And I know not everybody here is married, but this could apply to men, how you treat women in general. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, you know, he's comparing this, right? So husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. You know, Carolyn was telling me a while back, she said there was some women at her work, and they were all talking about their husbands. Well, he does this, and he says that, and he's this way, and he's that way. And she said, which, you know, kind of made me feel good, she goes, I didn't have anything bad to say about you. She goes, I don't understand these women, you know. I feel sorry for them that they don't love their husbands and have a wonderful husband like you. And, you know, I don't seldom say things to boast on myself, but when I got married the first time and this last time, I have always felt that I have a responsibility before the Lord to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And you know what I think of myself doesn't matter. It's if she's with girlfriends and he's not around, does she brag on him, or does she say, oh, I gotta tell you what my husband did. I get so frustrated with him, you know? And so, you know, that's an aspect of sanctification. Because how you treat your wife is how Christ is going to treat the church. And we know he gave himself for the church. We should do the same. So, end of that sermon. So, 2 Timothy. We're just going through some aspects of sanctification. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19. Nevertheless, solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And, you know, you really can't talk about sanctification without talking about, if you're a Christian, there's things you shouldn't do. Depart from iniquity. If there's a habit you're doing and you know the Lord isn't pleased, ask God to help you. Kick the habit. Stop doing that. And then we've got a couple of verses that we're going to end with. Hebrews chapter 13. Nola, the Walking Bible, probably knows already where I'm going with this, because she is the Walking Bible. I'm so proud of Nola. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. And then 1 Peter 1, 2. We'll just read one. To the pilgrims, the dispensation, part of Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, and obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so those last two, of course, if all else fails, plead the blood, right? If all else fails, plead the blood. So, in conclusion today, there are two aspects of sanctification. One, of course, is our position in Christ, and the other one is a progressive thing. It's our responsibility as Christians to keep our lamp full of oil, be watching, to keep sin out of our lives, to do all these other things, to read the Bible, to be humble, to treat your wife as Christ does the church, to have a teachable spirit, to wait on the Lord, and above all, walk in the sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today we know that you are coming, but so did the foolish virgins. We know you're coming soon, but so did the foolish virgins. We know that we're to go out and meet you, as did they. Lord, don't let us that have been Christians so long trust in head knowledge and neglect our responsibility to have our lamp full of the oil of the Holy Spirit, so that when you come, we're ready. Give us a teachable spirit and help us, Lord, to do what is necessary. The bride made herself, the wife made herself ready for the marriage of the Lamb. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up, Nola. We're going to have communion this morning. It seemed only fit, ending with the blood, that we take ourselves back to that night that Jesus told us to remember and do until he comes. And that is to remember the price he paid to make us his bride and to tell us to be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Eddie, would you and Karen like to serve us this morning? We'll let the women do it. Would you guys like to do that for us? We always have the guys do it. We'll let the ladies help us out this morning. So let's pray over these emblems, and then I'll have you serve everybody. Hold them until everyone's served before we take. Father, we ask you to bless these emblems in Jesus' name as we look back on that fateful night so long ago when you instituted the new covenant in your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, like I said, go ahead. You can serve the people and hold these until we all are served and we will partake together. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus. thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Everybody's been served. All right. You know, if you're a Christian living in the 21st century, and the world around us has been grown so dark, we have fiery darts from without and from within, there is one comfort above all, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood, we are cleansed, we're healed. You know, the blood doesn't just apply to our spirit, it can apply to our mind. We can apply the blood to our mind to wash out those negative thoughts. We can apply the blood to our heart to soften the stony heart. We can apply the blood. We can even by faith apply the blood to people that need it. Amen. You can say, Lord, I plead the blood over that person. Save them. Heal them. Deliver them. Restore them. It reaches from the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives us strength from day to day, guess what? Never lose its power. Never lose its power. It'll never lose its power. I don't think you heard me this morning. I said it'll never lose its power. It's the same as it was 2,000 years ago. It's still flowing today. The blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Amen. And regardless of where we're at, what we've done, our weaknesses, the blood of Jesus Christ is our greatest ally, our greatest resource, our greatest weapon against the wiles of the devil. The blood, the blood, the blood. Amen. The disciples, they didn't really understand. Jesus was talking about his death and his resurrection, and they didn't understand. And Jesus had to even rebuke Peter for saying, far be it from you, Lord. You're not going to die. Shut up, devil. You know, because that was the devil, because the cross was the secret, powerful plan of God to win lost humanity back to him. And on that night before they took him away to be crucified in the room with his closest friends, he implemented the new covenant in his blood. No longer the list of thou shalt nots written in stone tablets, but this one was written in his blood. And the word is grace, grace, grace by the blood. So after he had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Shall we partake? I can't help but wonder what they were thinking. Your body broken for us? They had no clue. You know, just because we don't have a clue what God's doing doesn't mean that exempts us from what he's doing, does it? And in the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And that's what we're doing today. We're reminding ourselves that Jesus died on the cross for us. And we're remembering as he told us to remember. And Lord, right now, we just want to take a minute to just not only ask you to examine our hearts, but to reflect on that dark, dark night when the sins of all the world were on you and when you were beaten beyond recognition. When the crown of thorns was on your head, Lord, when your back was open, when you were nailed to the cross, what you went through for us, Lord. Thank you. We could never repay you, so all we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for the blood that you shed to save me so that I get to go to heaven and be with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, put your finger on it. By your grace, help us to repent, to be the kind of Christians we want to be. We plead the mercies of God over us by virtue of the blood. In Jesus' name, shall we partake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Receive forgiveness. Forgive yourself. God does. Receive healing. And let's just worship the Lord. Thank you for the blood.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
I am strengthened and healed. Forgive.
Impressed to the Lord to just let you play a little bit longer, and then if anybody wants to come up and pray or make an altar, maybe you just need some time with the Lord, let's not rush through this. Let Nola sing a little more and just talk to the Lord if you need to right now.
Thank you for your broken body. Thank you. I am strengthened and healed, forgiven and sealed. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you for your broken body. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, hadn't it? Feel His presence in our lives. Lord, keep us, Lord. Keep us this week as we go our separate ways. Help us to be more than hearers but doers of Your Word. Help us to seek You a little more, to draw nigh to You as we know You'll draw nigh to us. And help us to make ourselves ready, Lord, for that day when You come, call Your bride home. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.